Chapter 16. Fathers face this way, and say, William, your life or your music? He'd say, my life. Now that's father's nature all over. And you see, sir, it must hurt the feelings of a man of that kind for him, and his base vile to be done away why neck and crop. The tranter went back to the vicar's front, and again looked earnestly at his face. True, true, Dewey, Mr. Mabled answered, trying to withdraw his head and shoulders without moving his feet, but finding this impracticable, edging back another inch. These frequent retreats had at last jammed Mr. Mabled between his easy chair and the edge of the table. And at the moment of the announcement of the choir, Mr. Mabled had just re-dipped the pen he was using. At their entry, instead of wiping it, he had laid it on the table with the nib overhanging. At the last retreat his coattails came in contact with the pen, and down it rolled, first against the back of the chair, thence turning a somersault into the seat, thence falling to the floor with a rattle. The vicar stooped for his pen, and the tranter, wishing to show that, however great their ecclesiastical differences, his mind was not so small as to let this affect his social feelings, stooped also. And have you anything else you want to explain to me, Dewey? Said Mr. Mabled from under the table. Nothing, sir. And, Mr. Mabled, you be not offended? I hope you see our desire is reason? Said the tranter from under the chair. Quite, quite, and I shouldn't think of refusing to listen to such a reasonable request, the vicar replied. Seeing that Reuben had secured the pen, he resumed his vertical position, and added, you know, Dewey, it is often said, how difficult a matter it is to act up to our convictions and please all parties. It may be said with equal truth, that it is difficult for a man of any appreciativeness, to have convictions at all. Now in my case, I see right in you, and right in Shiner. I see that violins are good, and that an organ is good. And when we introduce the organ, it will not be that fiddles were bad, but that an organ was better. That you will clearly understand, do we? I will, and thank you very much for such feelings, sir. Piff HHH. How the blood do get into my head, to be sure, whenever I quat down like that. Said Reuben, who having also risen to his feet, stuck the pen vertically in the inkstand and almost through the bottom, that it might not roll down again under any circumstances whatever. Now the ancient body of minstrels in the passage felt their curiosity surging higher and higher as the minutes passed. Dick, not having much affection for this errand, soon grew tired, and went away in the direction of the school. Yet their sense of propriety would probably have restrained them from any attempt to discover what was going on in the study had not the vicar's pen fallen to the floor. The conviction that the movement of chairs, etc., necessitated by the search, could only have been caused by the catastrophe of a bloody fight beginning, overpowered all other considerations, and they advanced to the door, which had only just fallen to. Thus, when Mr. Mabled raised his eyes after the stooping he beheld glaring through the door Mr. Penny in full-length portraiture, male's face and shoulders above Mr. Penny's head, sphinx forehead and eyes over male's crown, and a fractional part of Bowman's countenance under sphinx arm crescent-shaped portions of other heads, and faces being visible behind these the whole dozen, and odd eyes bristling with eager inquiry. Mr. Penny, as is the case with excitable bootmakers and men, seeing the vicar look at him, and hearing no word spoken, thought it incumbent upon himself to say something of any kind. Nothing suggested itself till he had looked for about half a minute at the vicar. You'll excuse my naming of it, sir, he said, regarding with much commiseration the mere surface of the vicar's face. But perhaps you don't know that your chin have bust out a bleeding, where you cut yourself a shaving this morning, sir. Now, that was the stooping, depend upon, the tranter suggested, also looking with much interest at the vicar's chin. Lood always will bust out again, if you hang down the member that's been bleeding. Old William raised his eyes, and watched the vicar's bleeding chin likewise, and Leif advanced two or three paces from the bookcase, absorbed in the contemplation of the same phenomenon, with parted lips and delighted eyes. "Dear me, dear me," said Mr. Maybold hastily, looking very red, and brushing his chin with his hand, then taking out his handkerchief and wiping the place. "That's it, sir. All right again now, I believe a mere nothing," said Mr. Penny. "Little bit of fur off your hat, we'll stop it in a minute, if it should bust out again." "I'll let he have a bit off mine," said Reuben, to show his good feeling. "My hat isn't so new as yours, sir, and 'twon't hurt mine a bit." "No, no, thank you," Mr. Maybold again nervously replied. "'Twas rather a deep cut seemingly," said Reuben, feeling these to be the kindest and best remarks he could make. "Oh, no, not particularly." "Well, sir, your hand will shake sometimes a shaving, and just when it comes into your head, that you may cut yourself, there's the blood. I have been revolving in my mind that question of the time at which we make the change," said Mr. Maybold, "and I know you'll meet me halfway. I think Christmas Day as much too late for me as the present time is too early for you. I suggest Michaelmas or thereabout as a convenient time for both parties, for I think your objection to a Sunday which has no name is not one of any real weight." "Very good, sir. I suppose mortal men mustn't expect their own way entirely, and I express in all our names that we'll make shift and be satisfied with what you say." The tranter touched the brim of his imaginary hat again, and all the choir did the same. "About Michaelmas, then, as far as you are concerned, sir, and then we make room for the next generation." "About Michaelmas," said the vicar. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.